Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Okay, so before we hop into this episode, I just want to read a testimonial about how the Gen Health membership has helped one of our members so significantly get back into exercise and approach it in a way that has been healthy for their body and their mind. I am extremely grateful for all the resources you have available. After 3 years of consistency, it is hard to convey how much of an impact Gen Health has had on my pain, mind-body connection, and capacity for the activities that are important to me. The tools you provide have, without exaggeration, changed my life and how I move. I had a very bad relationship with exercise due to trauma, toxic fitness, and diet culture, but the way you address it connected deeply with my science brain and curiosity, allowing me to get back into training with a learner mindset. This is everything that we want for people, everything we want for our members, to have a plan and follow Jen through her cueing and her education to get back into their body. If you want to join a movement community that is going to help you move forward and find what is optimal for you and your body, go down to the link in the show notes. It's just gen.health/free trial and make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout. That's going to get you your first month for only $20. Okay, let's get into the episode. Okay, so hopping into a topic I know you're excited about, and you just did a live with the community on this, and it's the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, right? Something like that. And this is a relatively new thing, but researchers have been looking into why women, especially in midlife, kind of the 40 to 60 year old range, start to collect a lot more tissue, tendon, muscle related or joint related diagnoses. Some of the big ones being like frozen shoulder, any sort of tendonitis, tendinopathy, tendinosis.
especially when it starts to like pop up in different areas of your body, kind of like all at once. It's like not only my knee, but my shoulder and my ankle and, you know.
Yeah. So could there be an explanation for this? Well, what are women going through during these years? Menopause, perimenopause, menopause, and what is happening during that? We're having massive fluctuations in our hormones, especially the reproductive hormones that women produce. One of the main ones that has been looked into is estrogen. So let's get into why changes and fluctuations in estrogen can have such a significant impact on our tendons, our tissues, and pain.
And this is so exciting to be able to have more of those answers. And we're going to obviously go through, okay, what do you need to be focusing on? What can you do, especially from a physical therapy movement standpoint? Because just being told, oh, you've overdone it, or it's just wear and tear as we get older, or maybe you shouldn't be squatting as low anymore. Or you're
just getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how many people have been, oh, well, now you're in your 40s, or you're getting into your late 40s, you just have more pains.
Unhelpful.
Yeah, no. Okay, great. What do I do about it?
Exactly. So let's actually like break this down. So the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause, it's gained traction over the last few years, and it really describes this kind of cluster of musculoskeletal symptoms that we tend to experience in this midlife transition. So we're looking at increased joint pain and stiffness, tendinopathies, frozen shoulder, loss of muscle mass and strength, even though you're trying, accelerated bone loss, and then worsening of osteoarthritic symptoms. So maybe you've already been diagnosed with osteoarthritis, but now these symptoms just continue to increase. And that's when, again, we're told, oh, you just shouldn't squat as low. Oh, you just shouldn't deadlift anymore. And like, again, well, that's only going to make us more fragile, weaker, and continue to
accelerate that muscle loss, bone loss, exactly. Everything that are the things that we'll talk about later that can help prevent the challenges that women face during midlife. Because some of this is, it comes with the territory. And I have to say, when we have podcasts like this, I am so grateful for my male biology because, man, you guys really got the short end of the stick when it comes to all these major changes. Guys, like, yeah, okay, maybe we lose testosterone later in life, but like, you know, we don't have as many of these issues that pop up. So Sorry, babe. Thank you.
And we've had other podcasts where we discuss the impact on estrogen. So we've talked about impact of estrogen on muscle loss. Yes. And strengthening in particular, we've talked about estrogen in the impact of breastfeeding and postpartum and hormonal changes and what we need to be paying attention to. So we have other podcasts where we've talked a little bit of specifics, but we just want to talk particularly into this new syndrome that people are starting to talk about, especially when it impacts specific diagnoses. I'm so excited that we're having this conversation and actually studies on the musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause. But what we have to talk about as estrogen levels change is that your body processes and absorbs nutrients differently. Things like magnesium, vitamin D, calcium, and omega-3s become even more important in supporting your energy, sleep, bones, and mood. And the tricky part is, even if you are eating well, it can be hard to get enough of what your body actually needs during this time. And that's what I love about Needed. It's put together specifically for women's health based on clinical research. They're not just throwing generic multivitamins at you and calling it a day. Their supplements are designed with these exact transitions in mind, formulated by women's health experts who actually understand what your body needs at different stages. So a few things that have always stood out for me about Needed is their vitamin D3 includes K2, which helps your body actually absorb and use it properly. Their magnesium is formulated to support both sleep and energy, two things that perimenopause loves to mess with. And everything is third-party tested for quality, which matters when you're putting something into your body every day. So if you've been feeling more drained than usual, dealing with sleep that just isn't as restorative, or noticing changes that you can't quite put your finger on, this is worth exploring. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL to get 20% off your first order. That's thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off your first order. All right, let's head back in.
And this is really significant because there was a major 2024 review that estimates over 70% of women experience musculoskeletal symptoms during the menopause transition, and roughly 1 in 4 report symptoms severe enough to be disabling. That's not rare. That's not incidental. It's a pattern. And it's something that we need to start paying attention to. And most women experience these symptoms in isolation. Like, they just wake up in the morning and they have frozen shoulder. Right. And they wake up in the morning and suddenly they feel like they've aged 10 years. They feel like, why do I suddenly have this knee pain? I didn't even do anything different yesterday or this week that would cause this.
Exactly. And so this is why we have to start talking about, okay, it starts prior to even going through menopause, or that magical, mythical, you know, time where when we all of a sudden lose our period for a year.
You haven't had your period for a year.
Yeah.
Boom.
You're in menopause. Or now you're postmenopause, right? Menopause just is just a time day. And space.
instant.
So this is where we have to start paying attention to perimenopause, which starts as early as your 30s, which is kind of wild. And it's like, it just continues to be so wild for me to think about as women are having babies later. I'm going to be 38 this year, barely getting off nursing myself. And so I've been going through the hormonal changes of nursing and postpartum, and then
I might just
slip right into perimenopause, or I might be in. It's just so crazy. So this is where, you know, perimenopause isn't just talking about our hot flashes or skipped periods and not knowing when you're going to get your period, but it's truly a hormonal transition, and estrogen plays a meaningful role in our musculoskeletal health, as we've kind of demonstrated in past podcasts. So estrogen is a modulator, not just in reproductive tissues, but when it comes to our muscle health, our bone health, our tendons, our ligaments, and our joint tissues.
Yeah. And so when our estrogen levels are fluctuating and eventually declining, what happens? So estrogen is a connective tissue modulator. It influences inflammation, tissue repair, and overall musculoskeletal function. What does this mean? So it means that when you have been doing workouts that you generally were doing, you know, in and throughout your 30s, and you suddenly notice, like, man, that workout that I do all the time suddenly is making me feel laid up for 2 or 3 days when I would normally only feel sore for 24 hours or something. Right. because that drop in estrogen could be impacting the way that our tissues are repairing, and it could be taking your body longer to recover from that same workout.
Which is crazy, because when we talk about tendinopathies, and we've done so many episodes on tendinopathies and how we kind of get these tendon type pains and issues happening, is because it's an overuse of the tissue. And so typically it is that you're just doing one repetitive motion too much. Maybe you're not opening up in other places. We're not using the body as efficiently. And we end up kind of overriding that tendon. Well, now it's not that we're just overriding it in a repetition sense, but now it's due to hormonal changes creating that same impact on the tendon. So it's still kind of that same mechanism that's happening to the tendon, but a different reason why. And so that's why, again, you could feel like, well, I'm trying to do all the right things. I haven't changed my training. I haven't changed anything. And yet now all of a sudden I'm starting to feel more impact into my tendons and joints and bones. And so that's where it just becomes, you know, we have to take a look at that inflammatory signaling. And that is so much more impacted, because now with that estrogen drop, we're getting an increase in inflammation, right? And so it kind of adds amplifiers to our movement, to what we're feeling. It increases that pain sensitivity by increasing that inflammation and having reduced estrogen. So
yeah, because we're talking about increasing inflammatory response, decreasing collagen synthesis, which is what impacts our tendons and our muscle tissues. So those two things combined are already working against each other. Yeah. And then during this time of perimenopause, you tend to, especially if you're a woman who's had children, have higher stress loads, yes, disturbed sleep, whether that's because of your kids or because of the perimenopause.
Hormonal changes that are
hormonal
happening.
Changes can also impact sleep. On top of this, we have inflammation, inflammatory response increasing, collagen synthesis, which is affecting our ability to repair tendons and muscles, decreasing. Women in that perimenopause age, especially if you are someone who had children, tend to have increased stresses like disturbed sleep, whether that's from your kids or from the hormonal changes,
yeah, exactly,
that you're going on in perimenopause. And on top of that, training inconsistencies, you might not be able to be in any sort of routine. Many women are working at this time also. So just the general stress of life that we aren't able to seem to keep up with. What's your nutrition status like? I talked with you about this the other day. Again, I'm talking about women going through perimenopause, but I make all these meals for the family, and then I don't want to eat those meals because I want them to last, because I'm not sick of cooking, but it's just like cooking for a family. You have to cook a lot. So I'm like, I'll be eating a sandwich or like this like turkey roll up that I made so that I can save the other meals for our kids. I'm sure many parents find themselves in that situation, mm-hmm, where they're like, I make these meals for my kids and then I eat whatever. Their leftover mac and cheese, put together a sandwich quick, or I eat an apple, and you know, so you might not be getting enough nutrition as well.
Well, and I just think too of like, especially when you're getting into your 40s, again, if you have children and stuff, so those who can relate to this, it's like your kids are getting older, they're getting into those more activities, so you're kind of running all over the place. So again, that in that disruption in schedule overall, whether it's sleep related, whether it's training related, whether it's nutrition related, like it's really hard to make meaningful and consistent change that it's like, yep, I'm going perfect on my nutrition, or I'm going perfect on my training. Like it's really hard to do when you have these increased disruptions, yeah, in your schedule, right? So of course that's going to impact what we're feeling and experiencing within our body, especially on top of those hormonal changes. Like again, in your 20s and your 30s, maybe you could have run right past all these things. No sleep, no problem. No, you know, yeah, like I could still train.
Hop
I could still
right
work
training,
out.
Grab a protein bar. We're moving on, you know?
Yeah, but again, because we're having these hormonal changes and because estrogen plays such a significant role on these tissue structures, we are going to feel it that much more. And that's why it can feel like I haven't really changed much, but all of a sudden, new pains, new diagnoses, new things are really starting to talk to me. And I even think about my mom, who kind of talks about inflammation moving all over the place of her body. She's like, well, one day it will be my shoulder, then it's my toe, then it's my knee, then it's this knee. And it's like, it's never really consistent. So again, when it continues to pop up in all these different areas and you're like, I didn't do anything significantly different to my foot or my knee, but it's showing up repetitively and differently. That's a pattern that we need to start looking at that's more physiologic and systemic rather than just tendon joint related.
Yeah, we have to start connecting the dots, and we have to start making women feel like you're not fragile. You're not getting weak and fragile in your old age. It's not your body betraying you. Mm-hmm. It's something that we need to look at approaching more systematically, find out how we can help people control the things they can control to give a little more of that buffer that might not be there as much now that, you know, that we're going through these hormonal changes. So let's talk about some of the specific ones. Frozen shoulder, I think, is huge. I worked with a handful, you know, or more people who had frozen shoulder. I only remember them being women. And that's what the research says, is it's very common in women in that 40 to 60 age range.
Yep.
And frozen shoulder isn't just a tight, stiff shoulder. It's called adhesive capsulitis. So it's a literally disorganized and inflammatory driven fibrosis of the joint capsule, where you actually can't move it. The tissues are not allowing it to move.
And what we have also seen in research is that we get an increase of frozen shoulder in diabetic patients. And that's because we're having a metabolic disorder within our body that's causing that increased inflammation, which leads to more of a chance of getting this adhesive capsulitis. So now, again, connect the dots. Metabolic disorder from disruption of hormones, increased incidence of women being able to all of a sudden get this as well. And we don't specifically know why people still get adhesive capsulitis, right? We don't have a significant cause. We just know what it is. Now, this is where it's like, it could be caused because you've had some rotator cuff injuries, you've had some previous shoulder injuries, all of a sudden you stop moving it as much, and it starts to develop into that frozen type of state. Yeah. When we're talking specifically hormonal changes, metabolic changes, we are talking, you didn't necessarily have any rotator cuff issues that you noticed. All of a sudden, your shoulder is literally just becoming frozen and stiff. And so that's when we are relating it back to these hormonal changes.
Yeah. And there's emerging research just to kind of like follow the breadcrumbs. Like you said, there's not much we can point to say like this one specific thing causes frozen shoulder.
Right.
I don't think that's how it works. You know, I think it's a play of a lot of things, like you've been bringing up, you know, our insulin, our inflammatory pathways. And there's emerging research that shows estrogen may have a protective antifibrotic role in connective tissue. There was a 2025 mechanistic study that examined how estradiol, which is one of the more potent forms of estrogen that our body creates, and estrogen-related receptors influence fibrotic pathways in frozen shoulder tissue models, suggesting estrogen depletion may allow pro-fibrotic processes to dominate. So again, can this contribute? Yes, that's a mechanistic study that's not actually done on live human beings. So again, can we match that up with what we're seeing in the public? Yeah, kind of. And this last one down here that I thought was interesting, a Duke-affiliated retrospective study, so they're just looking back at people who fill out questionnaires, found that women not using hormone replacement therapy had higher odds of adhesive capsulitis than those who were using hormone replacement therapy. The study was underpowered, meaning it probably didn't have a large enough sample size, so you can't draw a ton of conclusions from that. But again, is this breadcrumb adding to the evidence to just say like, okay, maybe being on hormone replacement therapy can reduce your risk?
Yeah, we can't say right now that it's a preventative measure. I think is clearly what it's trying to say, but it is interesting to note how if this pattern continues to be something that we see in research, maybe we can start to point to how effective, you know, hormone replacement therapy is in this adhesive capsulitis that's becoming more known as a systemic immunometabolic disorder. I mean, I think that's really captures it, right? We're having this immune response that's messing with our metabolism, that's causing us increased inflammation, and we're getting that increased risk of developing something like frozen shoulder. And so we have to start looking at it, you know, biologically, and what can we do from an inflammation standpoint, which we know some of the things we've always talked about, what impacts inflammation within our life. We're trying to really focus on our nutrition, our overall movement patterns, our, you know, our training, our mental health, our social circle, making sure we're getting sleep. Like, all of those factors play a role in inflammation, which are all the factors we also said can get disrupted when you're in this time of these hormone fluctuations. So it's really interesting to say, okay, I'm not to fault for frozen shoulder. And I think that's what's the key here. And also knowing that frozen shoulder, we've also had a podcast where we talk specifically about frozen shoulder and what you should do about it. There's different phases of the frozen shoulder, and there's different phases that actually are become more effective when you're actually doing therapy. And that's why we do also recommend working with a physical therapist in person to understand what stage along that frozen shoulder you are to create the most effective treatment protocol that you would need.
Okay. And the other thing we just want to touch on specifically is those tendinitises, tendinosises, joint arthropathies, basically these inflammatory type diagnoses that come up from overloading joints and tendons, and why these are popping up. Morning stiffness, achiness after sitting, joints that feel less forgiving to the same workouts. Like, why is this happening? We talked about this a lot earlier, where as estrogen signaling declines, joint tissues may experience that altered inflammatory balance, and cartilage health may be affected through that collagen synthesis. You know, that's going to affect our cartilage, our tendons, our muscles, all across the board. Pain sensitivity can increase. And at the same time, many women are going through this muscle mass and power and strength decline if they aren't training properly. Mm-hmm. So that's going to point a little bit towards what we talk about and what we should do about this.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think what's interesting too, and one of the studies kind of pointed it out, if muscle mass and power drop even a little bit, joints take on more relative stress in daily life. So think of anything that you do throughout the day, lifting, carrying your kids, walking upstairs. All of these things, our joints have to take more load because we don't have as much muscle and power to support it. And that's where it just becomes so important. Another thing I saw in one of the studies is that women have a reduction of 0.6% of muscle mass per year after menopause. So that's significant, right? Because we've always talked about the decline of what starts to happen after 30, but like knowing that 0.6% per year after menopause, which if you go through menopause, late 40s and 50s, like,
got a lot of years left.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's what I want to point out. And then power declines even faster than strength. And power, we're thinking getting up from something quickly. Like, it doesn't just mean jumping, right? It's being able to react to something.
Power for an 80-year-old is, and I'm trying to relate this to working in a hospital, power for an 80-year-old is getting off a toilet.
Yes.
Like, that's the last thing you see go as you lose that last bit of power as we get into our later years.
Mm-hmm. So now we have to talk about, okay, well then what do we actually do?
We talked about a lot of really kind of things. So what can we do about it?
I mean, this is where it goes back to that progressive resistance training. And this is where it's like, when we say progressive, we really mean safe, effective, and intentional strength training. Because I think what scares a lot of women is like, I'm already having all these.
We just talked about having the pains during all the workouts. I'm getting pain when I do my same workouts that I did. Okay, well, maybe it's not going to look like the same workouts that you used to do. Maybe it's not that high intensity or that F45, not to throw them under the bus, but that's what I think of, the F45 intense workout. You're going from station to station to station. We need to be a little more systematic.
Yes. And that's why it's so important. We need to start to preserve and understand how to save our muscle mass, improve that tendon load tolerance so that it's not running into all of these tendinopathies and issues and pains that we're feeling, and then ultimately help to reduce that joint stress by building up the muscle tissue around it and support, which also includes mobility. And I think that's what's important to note as well. Like, yes, everyone's talking about strength training and resistance training, and yes, and doing that through our fullest range of motion that we have available. So if we're lacking our mobility, if we're not paying attention to our mobility and we're just doing resistance training, that's again where we could be overloading in a certain range of motion and not getting that fullest load progressively on that tendon that we need to.
It's like in the program we just did with your mom. Like, she has some limited range of motion at some joints. And when we would do strength exercises with those joints, we would notice her range of motion increase as we were doing the exercise. So strengthening through the whole load, I mean, this is just going to help, again, give you a little bit of that buffer back. And if you're somebody who's having active pains where you're like, yeah, strength training is not a great option for me right now, this is where rehab principles also matter.
Yes.
And it might be valuable to be with a skilled professional, physical therapist transitioning into working with a strength coach of some sorts who can help with those isometrics, slower, heavy eccentrics, and help guide you in that gradual and consistent load progression to help avoid that, like, okay, I'm going to go back to strength training. Oh, nope, I'm hurt again, you know, right, type cycle that a lot of people find themselves in. Again, being systematic, doing it slowly, but focusing on the areas that you need, focusing on the areas that may currently have pain, using those rehab principles can get you to that place where you're like, okay, I'm strength training again, and this is manageable.
And that's why, like, with InGen Health too, when we're doing workouts, like, this is why I guide you through the workout, because it's not just about being able to see pictures and do the exercises on your own. That's great, especially for someone who really understands their body or is already a professional. But for majority of people, understanding that intentional, slow, controlled movement and actually working into the muscles that we want to be, you know, firing, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I only feel my quads. Well, then we need to do something different so that we start to feel our glutes talking to us again, right? So we're loading the joints in the most effective and efficient capacity that we have available. And when he says isometrics, this is what we do in Gen Health as well with our muscle activations a lot. We're doing isometric holds. So isometric just means you're not moving through a range of motion. You're just holding.
Activate and hold.
And this helps to actually reduce pain symptoms that we're feeling as well. Yeah. And then start to build that strength capacity in a way that you feel safe and comfortable to start overloading it over time. And then we got to talk about recovery, right? Because that is
pointed out that recovery is reduced with some of these other things going on with our hormonal changes.
Right. And so that's where, okay, what can we do to help prioritize our sleep? I know we might have interruptions during sleep, and that's something that we can't avoid, but can we create a darker environment? Can we have a sleep mask? Can we have a sound machine if needed? Can we wear earbuds if you don't have to listen for a baby crying at night? Yeah. You know, like, what can we do to increase our protein intake, manage our stress as much as possible, getting in more walks throughout the day outside, and just trying to focus on consistency over everything. And that's why for me, being consistent means being accountable. And I look to other people, whether it's my husband or a friend or who's going to keep me accountable to the things that my mom. Yeah. Who's going to keep me accountable to actually showing up and doing the things that I want to be doing and I know are best in my body. So just relying on yourself sometimes isn't the best. And I talk about this all the time, but accountability, joining a program, having a plan, like, all of these things matter.
Yeah, I mean, just recently even we've started, I do my daily dues, which is what my cousin and I do together. And we have been accountability partners. And Jen's just like, I'm going to do these three things daily. It's, you know, push-ups, pull-ups, and some leg lifts, toe to bars. And you've been doing them and it's been amazing. And I feel like you're already noticing and feeling the difference just from doing those. We turned one of our weekly walks with our kids into an interval sprint workout. Sounds awful, but it's fun because we go 3, 2, 1, blast off with our kids and it turns into like a connecting thing with our kids. I'm running with our dog who pisses me off sometimes, but she's having a blast too, barking at all the other dogs in the neighborhood. So like, how can you fit these things in a way that doesn't necessarily need to take more time, doesn't necessarily need to be this massive thing? It's the consistency, and it's the consistent, like, again, avoiding the boom or bust. Doing the things on a daily and weekly basis that aren't going to push you past that threshold, but are going to make the long-term change. The last thing and fourth thing on the list is hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
Again, we're not the ones who are going to tell you should get it or, you know, go through the process.
So independent and personal for each person.
But we've had some great experts on the podcast that have talked about this. And it's, there's a lot of amazing research showing what this can do for women and men, but you know, women in these situations to help. Yeah. To, if we're having these major fluctuations, why not maybe do something or look into hormone replacement therapy as an option?
I mean, this is where talking to your doctor becomes so important, because estrogen replacement therapy can attenuate fat gain, decrease lean muscle mass, and the evidence that estrogen acts and influences adipose tissue through our specific estrogen receptors is huge. So like, again, especially when you start feeling like that midsection, I can't get rid of no matter what I'm doing. Like, again, estrogen, it plays a role here. So just having that conversation, there's obviously a lot of different hormonal type treatments that are available. But I also have to mention, you know, when we're having these medical conversations, ask about vaginal estrogen. This is a huge important one as well as we continue to go through these hormonal changes, especially for pelvic health. If you're experiencing a lot of UTIs, dryness, pelvic pain, this is, again, vaginal estrogen can help so much. And then I will say one of the newer ones that is being talked about a lot, especially when we're talking about midlife and something that is impacting our joints, is GLP-1. And so if we're on that metabolic scale where we're tipping into obesity and we can't lose weight, you know, this is a conversation to have with your provider.
And what they're finding is it has huge implications with inflammatory modulation and things like that. So again, we had an incredible expert. We've talked about it with a couple experts now. Dr. Spencer, who we just did a podcast with, was incredible and talks about so many of the benefits and research evidence-based reasons that he uses it. I would definitely take a look into that. But yeah, those are just, again, the things that we can control and the tools that we have in our tool belt to help navigate this process that women are going through that can help reduce the fear, reduce the blame on yourself, reduce feeling like you are just becoming a weak, fragile old person, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't have to go that way. There are tools that we can give women to help navigate this massive transition we're going through in life.
I hope this information was helpful. And if you didn't know, we actually are starting Lifting for Longevity, a program I shot with my mom who has all these arthritic aches and pains, and she's able to increase her strength, her power, her balance, and jumping that we get to see throughout the program. So if you want guidance with a community, a group to hold you accountable, this is the time to get in.